Rana. Luchun Rana Mizmor Tzadik. Mizmor Tzadik Hei. Okay, so we move the schedule, by the way. We now have Shir today. We have Shir tomorrow. But it's not, of course, Shir tomorrow. Why not Shir tomorrow? Yeah, there is, yes. But Sunday and Monday, there's not going to be Shir. There's no Shir Sunday, Monday. And in Mirat Hashem, we'll have Shir, anyone who wants to come, on Chol HaMoed, on Thursday. Thursday at, what time should we call the Shir for? A little bit later.
Call 3 in the morning at my house.
Should we call for 10 o'clock or 10:15? We'll call for 10:15. 10:15 in the morning for a short Shir, not a long Shir, just a little bit. We'll figure out something, what to learn. Talk about Yom Tov. And Friday, possibly also, we'll talk about it on Thursday. So probably on Chol HaMoed, Thursday and Friday, Bli Neder, they will have a Shir. Whoever wants to come, we can tune in online. And tomorrow this Shir, and the Mir Tzashem, it's Sunday, Monday, there's not going to be Shir. Okay, so let's get over here up to a few Mizmor Tzadik Hei.
The regular
everything is the same. Mizmor Tzadik Hei, we went through the Mitzudas, the Rashi, and the Targum. Now let's take look at the Mamori Chazal. The Mamori Chazal, and then we're going to go further because we're on page 858. 858 is where the Mizmor begins. Okay, and we went through, I'll read the Pesuk very quickly one more time. Okay, so we have Luchu Nirana LaHashem, Luchu, go out. Or it means to encourage yourself, energize yourself. Niranina, let us sing LaHashem. Go out, Niranina, to sing to Hashem. Naria, we will give off shouts of joy. Litzur Yeshena, to our rock, that is our salvation. The Kadma Fana B'Soda, we will present ourselves before Him with words of praise. Bizmirois, with song. Naria Lo, we will shout to Him. And what will we say? Kikel Gadol Hashem, Umelech Gadol Al Kol Elokim. Hashem is a Kel Gadol. He is a God that is mighty, powerful. And he is a Melech Gadol, he is a great king. Al Kol Elohim, we learned yesterday, this means, according to most of the Mefarshim, means on all of the angels. Hashem is great in all of the angels. That would be a simple translation, but also can mean Hashem is a Melech Gadol on all authority. Any authority in this world, Hashem is above that. Asher biyodoy nechkirei oretz, it is within Hashem's hands all of the investigations of this earth, which simply can mean the depths, the things that are buried deep, deep down in this earth. Hashem knows all about the secret caves and tunnels and the mysteries of the tohoim, of the depth. We have this in this world, if you make a calculation, how much money has been spent by governments, by private institutions, to explore space. Put that on one side. And how much money has been invested to explore what is deep down in the earth? I mean, how far down is the earth? Go down the lowest. I once had a video. There's a video that shows this. It's the lowest portion of how far down you can go in different parts of the world, all the way down in the oceans. And of course, you know, they dig all the way down, you know, to oil, natural gas, and who knows what. They go down. They go very deep down. How deep? How much money has been spent on technology to explore and understand the science of what is in the depths of this earth? Put that on one side of the equation, and how much money has been spent to explore, discover, understand what's going on in outer space? The answer is what has been spent and invested in outer space is infinitely more than the amount of money, time, and effort that has been spent to understand what's going on in our own backyard. Okay? If you go all the way down to the depths of the earth, how far could you go already? You can't go that. I don't know. I don't remember. You can get all the statistics in a second on YouTube and online about, you know, what's going on in the depths of the earth. whatever it is, and certainly the governments have spent, look, they found the Titanic, right? They found the Titanic, they went all the way down there to get it.
I think the deepest ocean is about 7-8 miles.
7-8 miles deep. And how far is Mars? We've spent things to Mars. How many miles away is Mars? Not to be believed, right? How far these planets are away? I don't know the numbers. But forget about how far away they are. The amount of money and effort and time that has been spent by man to understand what goes on up there, what goes on there, you know, in outer space. It's incredible. And the amount of money and time and effort that we have spent to understand what is going on 7 miles away. It's only 7 miles down. That's not so far. 7 miles down. Okay, what's 7 miles? Nothing. Okay, you're going 60 miles an hour in your car, you're there in 7 minutes. That no one is interested in. No one cares. They're just not exciting to know about the different fish, to know about creatures, and there's incredible things down there which no one even knows about, and it's only 7 miles down. And no one has been interested in developing technology, which can certainly be done, to go all the way down, to understand what's going on down there, and explore the mysteries of Hashem's world. It's just boring. It's our own backyard. But yet, what's going on the sun and the moon, and Mars and all these planets, and sending out a spacecraft and telescopes, and you name it, the amount of money that has been spent, it can be in the trillions. Combine all the governments of the world over the last 200 years. It's amazing. You're always curious to know about things that are far, far away. But what's going on in your own backyard, in your own home, you have no idea what's going on. There's a very, very famous story by a certain gevir, and the rabbi called him, and the rabbi says, I have over here a situation, and I would like to ask you if you can give a very nice donation for this very difficult situation. And explain to him in general what's going on. And this Balabas was a very, very wealthy person. So everyone says the same story, just different people. And explained to him the situation in detail. And then this Balabas was very wealthy, very capable, and said, okay, of course. Rabbi, whatever you want. How much do you want? I want this amount of money. Who should I make it out to? Your brother. You make it out to your brother. Your brother is going through, where are you? How come, you know, you're a big famous person, you help the whole world, you can't help your own family? Charity starts at home. It's a mitzvah. People don't know what's going on right in front of their eyes, but they know what's going on the other side of the world. And that's over here, the two different extremes. Asher lo, Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem knows what's going on the depth of this earth. Asher, the Yado, it is within Hashem's power, understanding the mech kirei oretz, the depths of the earth, and likewise v'sarafoy sarim lo, the highest mountains, means all the way up there, where the birds fly, in the highest locations, lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has awareness and he's in control of what's going on. Asher lo hayam hu asahu, to Hashem is the yam, and v'hu asahu, he made the yam. Now we learn over here in the word asahu, in the mitzvah, this means that Hashem prevented the Yam from flooding the world. I don't know what scientists say about this, but Chazal seem to indicate is that it's l'mala miderech hateva, that the Yam, the sea, the oceans of the world, do not flood the dry land. That's what they seem to say. Scientifically, I don't know. I have no idea. I never spent time looking this up, but probably all scientists will say no such thing, that you know, there's a the curvature of the earth and the gravitational forces and v'chulu, it's natural that the yam, the oceans, do not flood the dry land. Approximately one-third of this world is dry land, two-thirds is water, and it's natural because there are cavities, the oceans, they descend 7 miles down in some place you mentioned, and it's natural that the oceans of the world do not cover the earth and flood the world naturally. It seems, fine, maybe, do they really know that scientifically to be correct? Who knows? A lot of things just make up. They make up the science, and as years go on, someone makes an investigation, they discover the whole science is not even true. But Chazal seem to say that it is an open, blatant miracle that the Yam, two-thirds of this world, the Yam, do not just flood the dry land, and we will all be sitting underwater. It is an open miracle, and that is what it means over in this pasuk, Asher lo hayam, Hashem made the Yam, v'hu asohu. Asohu here means he made it. What did he make? What is the maisa? What is the action? Mitzudas David learns restraint. The restraint that yikavu hamayim el makom echad v'seireh hayabasha is that the water should be collected in one location. It should not flood the earth, and the dry land should be seen. Tiknu al makom olios nikve b'makom echad, to be gathered into one location. Then it goes on to say v'yabeshes yadav yatzaru, and then the dry land, his hands created. We learned something before. I don't remember what we learned over here. What that means, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created Idoy Birihu. The Targum just says his hands created. Okay, so this is what we learned. We learned this yesterday. Okay, we learned this yesterday. We learned this with the parish of the Rashi, the Mitzudoy, Stat Mach Rashi, and the Targum. There are a few more things we want to finish up before we go further. And let's look at the Mamari Chazal. These are very simple, famous Mamari Chazal. It's Kedai to review them on page 860, Pasuk Hey, Asher Lo Hayom Vehu Asahu. Ashiru LaHashem Ki Go'o Go'o. This is the Shira Sayam. Moshul Lemo Hadover Doime. Lemelech Basav Adom. Shnichnas Limidino Vehoyu Akol Mikal Slifonov Kshugibar. They praise this leader that he is powerful. But the truth is, it's a big lie. Vehu Chalosh is a weakling. They praise him, Shuhu Ashir. It's a lie. Vuhu Ani. Shuhu Chacham, he's wise. It's a lie. Vuhu Tipesh. Shu Rachamani, he has mercy. It's a lie. Vuhu Achzari, he's cruel. Shuhu Dayan. Shuhu Dayan. Shu Nemon. Ve'en Be'achas Micholamidu Salalu Ella. Hakol Machanifin Lo. Everyone just comes to flatter him because he has power. He has power. And your life depends upon him. So people will say about leaders all these praises, and the truth is these people have nothing to offer. Who is the notable exception? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Every praise that we say about Hashem is just a fraction. It's not even a fraction. A mashu shemashu, an infinite scale of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is. Aval mi sh'amar. So everything that we praise Hashem, we can never possibly evaluate, never possibly praise Hashem enough. Okay, so that's what he's over here in the book. When the Pasuk says, "Hashem,"
this was the same
Nishmat. It would be impossible. It would be impossible to fully praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Absolutely. Absolutely, exactly. So different. This is all built on the words Ashir. It's interesting that this is all rooted in the words Ashir la Hashem. I sing to Hashem ki go'o go'o. It seems, from what Chazal say, that they are understanding the repetition of the word go'o. Go'o means grandeur. Hashem is great. And the repetition indicates that he is greater than what we can ever possibly imagine. Whatever darga of realizing, of appreciating Hashem's grandeur, that Hashem is Go'o, he's even greater. He's even greater than that, which is the complete opposite of a human being. A human being, whatever they say about a human being, you can be certain that they don't even have a fraction of what they say about them. Okay, you know, talk about in Shidduchim. Are you allowed to lie in the Shidduchim? You ask about a boy, and you say, is the boy a good boy? Oh, the boy is a genius. The boy is, he's out of Hollywood. He's you never, midvar sheker tircha. And the sheker tircha, you're never allowed to lie. However, I don't know, there is some, you allow to exaggerate a little bit. Why? Because since we live in Alma de Shigra, so everyone anyway is going to discount what you say. So if you say the boy, he's smart. Oh, he's smart? That means the boy is very schwachemeis. He doesn't have much. Whatever someone's going to say, automatically, it's human nature for the listener to discount. So if you go and you bring him to a very, very high level, so then when you'll discount, it'll be where he really is. Okay, is that true or not? People of experience can figure these things out very quickly, but what the MS is, supposedly, I don't know about that either, but this is a reality in this world, is that human beings, when we sit down to praise them, the praise that we give them, we usually, 99.9% of the time, we overevaluate, we overestimate what they're really worth. They're really worth a lot less than what you think in every dimension. The exception is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever we can possibly imagine about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's far, far greater than we can even fathom. And that idea is rooted in two words that we say every single day in Pesukei Dezimra, Ki Go'o Go'o. Any appreciation of Hashem being Go'o, he's even greater. Go'o. He's even higher than that. Hashem is Mitzamtzein, he conceals his greatness, and there's always more. Next, Chazal, Ashira la Hashem, Shehu Ashir. Okay, Shehu Ashir. I sing to Hashem, Shehu Ashir Shenemar. Hashem is rich. Hein la Hashem Elokecha Hashemayim v'shmei Hashemayim v'yomer Asher lo hayam v'hu asahu. So what does it mean exactly? Shehu Ashir. I don't know. I really don't know. This is very mystical. I sing to Hashem. Hashem is rich. What does that mean, Hashem is rich? Hashem has everything. Hashem doesn't need money. Hashem, what do you mean he's rich? You want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ezeu Oshir HaSoymeach B'chelkoi? Is that what it's alluding to? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's rich? A person who's satisfied, he's happy with what he has. What does Hashem have in this world? He has us. He has us. He's happy with us. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Hein LaHashem Elokecha HaShemayim U'shmei HaShemayim. I don't know what this means. This needs further clarification. We're going to leave it for now. Next, the Abeshes Yadav Yotzaru, the dry land Hashem's hands created. Dorash Bakapor Gedolim Maasei Tzadikim Yosef Maasei Shemayim Varetz. Man's deeds are even greater than the deeds of Hashem. Dilu Maasei Shemayim Varetz. Because it says Af Yodi Yosto Eretz Vimini Tifcha Shemayim. Hashem created this world with one hand. One hand. Mashma yod achas. The ilu b'masit idem shel tzadikim says in the pasuk, machoin l'shiftecha. We built for Hashem a beis hamikdash, a dwelling for your dwelling. A machon means a building for your dwelling. Pa'alta Hashem. Machoin, a place for your dwelling place you Hashem have brought forth. You have brought forth with your actions, and which I guess means that you have enabled us to do this. You have given us the opportunity to do this. Mikdash Hashem, the sanctuary of Hashem, konenu yodecha, your hands have established it. Now, even though this pasuk is really addressing Hashem, but because we are the ones who actually build the physical abode where Hashem rests His divine presence, and it's described with the words yodecha, Chazal see in this that the Beis HaMikdash that is built by human beings is built with two hands. And this is our achievement, to build for Hashem a place for Him to rest His divine presence. But yet when Hashem made the world, He only alludes to His creation of the world with one hand. Af Yodi Yosto Eretz. So what is the great difficulty on this Maimer Chazal, the pasuk that we have just learned above? Heishiv Bavli Echad, Rebbe Chiya Shemo, Rebbe Chiya from Babylon, he challenged this statement of Bar Kapara. What do you mean? But it says here in Tehillim, in Mizmor Tzadihei, V'Abeshes Yodov, with two hands, Yotzaru. Heishiv Bavli Echad, Rebbe Chiya Shemo, V'Abeshes Yodov Yotzaru. Harei Shegam Yitzuyas Aretz Mashma Shtei Yodov. So the Gemara says, Yodoi Ksiv. No, it says here in our Pasuk, Yodo, really? Not in our version. You look at the Mincha Shai. Okay, you look at the Mincha Shai. We have over here, V'yabeshes Yodov. There's no Kri Uksiv in this Pasuk. Yud, Dalid, Yud, Vav. And the Gemara is telling us in Ksubis that this Pasuk is spelled, it's supposed to be spelled Yodoy, without the Yud. Although it may be that we pronounce it as if there is a Yud, Yodov, but the spelling is Yodo. Really, in the art school edition of the Mikros Gedolos, there is no kriyuchsef. Min chashai on the bottom, yodov yotzar bereish perakama heishabal yechad rabbi chiyashmo viabeshes yodov yotzaru yodoy ksef uvechol sefarenu kosuv yodov gam loy nimda bimosar gedola im nun vav milim chaserim yud beemtsa tevosa vikaryon. It's in the Mesor Gedola there are 55 times, yes. I'm sorry, 56 nun vav, 56 examples of a missing yud, of a missing yud in a word, which it's not the spelling omits the yud, but the pronunciation demands that we add a yud in its pronunciation. And guess what? This is not listed there. It's not listed there. So this opens up a whole world. It's a challenge. It's a very, very big problem. Gam loy nimna, it's not counted. Loy nimna, it is not counted. In ba bi mosora gedoyla, there's the mesora gedoyla and the mesora kitana. I always promise you that one day we're going to learn this. We're going to spend time learning this concept called the mesora gedoyla and the mesora kitana. Today it doesn't exist. It used to be in the olden days in the mikros gedolos, on the side of the mikros gedolos, there was something called mesora gedoyla and mesora kitana. It looks like and almost no one knows what it looks like, a mumbo jumbo collection of letters that's basically impossible for the average person to have any clue what's going on. It looks like a printer made a mistake and just spilled out some encrypted code. It's on the sides of the very old Mikros Gedolos, and one is called the Mesor Gedola, one is the Mesor Katana, and basically it was an ancient technique to guarantee that errors do not creep into the text. Because
it says here Yatzaru, so
that's the next question.
In plural, so it has to be Yadav.
That's the next question. Let's
I don't understand. What's Mesor Gedola?
The Mesor Gedola is basically in the olden days. Like, let's say this example. V'yabeshes yodov yotzaru. It used to be in the olden days, there was no printers, and there was no central authority, or it wasn't like electronic databases. The technology did not exist, anything even close to what we have today. Mm-hmm. And how did you get a chumash? You travel a couple of miles, you find a scribe, and he would hand copy someone else's chumash, or any sefer for that matter. The every book that was available was hand copied, and it's inevitable that a scribe that hand copies is going to make a mistake, and it's going to happen that although in the original edition it says yodov without a yud, he'll make a mistake and he's going to add a yud. No, today when today,
would that same issue then exist, let's say, with Gemaras and Mishnayos?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Rashi spent an enormous amount of his time going to Mainz, and Mainz was the center where they had the most manuscripts. They had libraries in the yeshiva of Mainz, which a collection of many manuscripts of the Talmud, and Rashi would meticulously compare the different manuscripts to clarify what is the correct version of the Gemara. That is why Rashi so often writes Hochi Garasinan. Could you imagine if Rashi did not have to spend time analyzing the correct Girsa, how much more he could have done, how much more he could have written, what he would have accomplished? Rashi seems to have spent an enormous amount of time just clarifying the correct girsa, the correct text. So this was a very, very big problem.
Now, how does that differ from when it says, for instance, somewhere in Shukhnach, the Shach says, Ta'u Seifim, What did that mean?
Baruch Adonai Elohim HaLam Shakol Niyah Bidvaray. It doesn't. It's all the same. It's all the same. People make mistakes. People have made mistakes from time immemorial. They make mistakes when they wrote the Gemara. They made mistakes when they printed. They printed every single thing that has ever been printed. There are mistakes. Every single thing in this Sefer also Arutz Kodesh. There's full plenty of mistakes.
So what was the Sefer Kodesh? Was it actually a commentary that was printed in our
Bible? Yes. Yes. On the side of the page. On the side of the page. On the margin. There was another column. Called the Masorah. I think they have one over here in the room in the shul. They have a very old, maybe they took it out by now.
What do you mean by very old? How far back are we going?
50 years?
Pre Oscar.
Do you mean
Enmico
printed in the 60s, whatever?
Probably not. Probably the photo offset of ones that probably a little bit before that. You want to go look, Mr. You want to go look if you have over there?
I don't know.
Forget about it. The very old. They stopped printing it because no one has any clue what it means, understands what it means, and it's not very really relevant today, because today, due to technology, everything is everything is
was all cleaned up.
Not necessarily. See, I'll give you an example. A modern day example.
If I
could remember this correctly. Someone showed this.
What was cleaned up before?
Someone showed this. This is an amazing thing. Someone showed it in Palace. And they made a whole investigation. And it was a printing mistake that one company did. And everyone copied this printing mistake. It's an amazing thing. Even today, something really crazy can happen. And it's almost every single chumash you find. I once told this to you. I don't know if I'm going to be able to remember it. The very end of Koheles, someone showed this to me.
It's a new typeset.
And all of the printers, they all share. You have to know what goes on in the printing business. They all share the same text. I don't know how, who everyone seems to have come together. Let me see over here if I can find it over here very quickly, if I remember. Probably not going to be able to find it so fast over here. A Kol Nishma. I'm not going to be able to find it in this moment. Alright, I'm not going to remember. I have to go review this. I'm able to spot it. The end of Koheles. Amazing thing to me, and I can't remember where it is. The second to last column. Okay, I don't know. I can't find it. I have to ask the press to remember where it is. But mistakes creep in. And in order, a fascinating technique was created in order to guarantee that mistakes do not enter into the text, and that is when you have similar words that are very vulnerable to be mistaken because the similarity of the word appears all over Tanakh, so there was like a checksum. A checksum mm-hmm. is you have an unusual word. No, not this. That's fine. They have an unusual word, and you basically on the side was this word appears in Tanakh 10 times, and 6 of the times it's spelled like this, and the other 4 times it's spelled like that. Or this word appears in Tanakh 15 times, and 3 times it's mole, there's a vav. And the other number of times there's no vav, there's a yud or there's no yud. Because a yud sometimes you can omit a yud, sometimes you can letters can come and go. Letters can be padded, can be deleted, vavs and yuds, things like that. So you would write on the side of them on the margin that this word appears x number of times in Tanakh, and it tells you exactly how many times it should be like this and be like that. That was a way to guarantee that there's no mistakes you can immediately analyze all the other places, and you can see if the numbers add up to make sure there's no corruption of the text. It's like we do today in computers. When you go and you send information on the internet, so how does it work? How do you know that the information that you are receiving is the information that was sent? Maybe somebody intercepted your message and they sent you a different message.
That's a typical yeshiva argument, you know? I mean, we're talking about Torah Messina here. We're not talking about...
There's a lot of honest mistakes, and there is deliberate corruption. That's the way the world goes. That's how it is. There are mistakes. Look, today, a sefer, you buy a sefer Torah, okay, $100,000 sefer Torah. How many mistakes, spelling mistakes, does the average sefer make when he writes a sefer Torah today? I was told this information. If it's true or not, I can't guarantee anything is true, but this is what I was told. That today, the average sefer, who is even a big expert, writes a brand new sefer Torah. He makes approximately 30 spelling mistakes. We're not talking about, we know the letter is not perfect and it's missing a detail which disqualifies the bin kosher. We're talking about basic spelling mistakes. You're writing over 300,000 letters in the sefer Torah. Okay, it's inevitable you're going to make some spelling mistakes. From the 300,000, I go give you a book to copy word for word, and I'm asking you to go and copy over for me 300,000 letters. How many spelling mistakes, how many times will you mistakenly put the wrong letter of what you're supposed to do? It happens approximately, on average, 30 times per Sefer Torah. Now, if that's what happens when you're writing a Sefer Torah, could you imagine when you're not writing a Sefer Torah, you're just writing a book for learning purposes? You're writing over Sefer Yeshaya. You're writing over Sefer Tehillim. You're writing over this Sefer. You don't think it's inevitable that someone's going to make a mistake?
Okay, so
you're writing a Siddur, Asher Yeshev
Yisecha.
What?
Do they correct the mistake?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes not. Sometimes the mistake gets worse and worse. The mistake just deepens. The mistake, you just entrench the mistake, and people accept it to be a mistake. In Ashrei, why is Ashrei written with the letters of the Aleph Beis? Because they shouldn't make mistakes. If you're going to go...
You brought up an interesting thing. You're saying sometimes they purposely perpetuate the mistake?
Not purposely. It just happens. Mistakes creep in. In the Haggadah.
So Baruch, subsequent editions get corrected?
Not necessarily.
Why not?
Because people are ignorant, and people are dealing with much greater problems. When someone's throwing bombs on your head every other day, you don't have time when you're fighting for your survival every day, and you're worried how you're going to feed your children, how you're going to feed yourself and your children. So these problems are much more important than worrying about, is there a missing yud, is there not a missing yud.
Okay, so what about in the case where halacha that's passed by the Ramah and the Shach says that's a toy sofer move.
That's right.
Let's talk about toy sofer. Can you tell me why 700 years ago I still have to read the Shach?
It happens. That's how it. That's what goes
why
on.
Why was it not correct? Either it's a toy or sofer.
If we were living in their times, it would be Devarim Pshutim Admoy. There are so many examples of this. Some of them have been disproven. Magdil and Migdol. Right, Magdil Yeshua Sama Migdol.
Is it a mistake that the Ramah Paskin, or was it not a mistake?
It depends. It all depends. Everything depends. I can't give you any example in this moment in the papir. It all depends. It happens. It definitely happens. There are many, many.
I don't understand this whole business.
Okay. There's something called the Masorah Gedola.
Isn't it also a matter of opinion if it was a toast?
Sometimes yes, sometimes not.
It's his. Opinion that it was a Torah.
I'll give you an example. One example comes to mind. Pesach is coming up. When you finish every brach in the Shemona Esrei, what do you say? Mekadesh Yisrael vehazimanim. Correct? Mekadesh Yisrael and the Zimanim. On Pesach, on Rosh Hashanah, how do you finish off the brach? The same exact brach, how do you finish it off?
And where?
On Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Yisrael v'yoyim hazikaroyim. How do you finish off the brach on Yom Kippur? Mekadesh Yisrael v'yoyim hakipurim. So why, when it comes to the Shalosh Regalim, do you conclude Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazimanim? Why not conclude the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael v'chag hamatzos? Mekadesh Yisrael v'chag hasukos? Mekadesh Yisrael. So some say it is. Some say that when they first started printing Sidurim, and every single letter was a big deal. And if you go look on YouTube, look how they still have an ancient print. There, people still do this, just you know, as a hobby, or as like, you know, to make collector's items. They go and they print with the same old-fashioned printing. Every letter that you put in you print is a very big tircha. So it wasn't like today where you can do whatever you want. And just you know, it's a free for all. It was a very big deal. So if you have a sitter and you want to go write for the Shalosh Regalim, so what are you going to write down? You're going to print Mekadesh Yishol V'chag HaMatzos, Mekadesh Yishol V'chag HaSukos, Mekadesh Yishol V'chag Shmini Atzeres. You're going to do four different versions? So the printers, I'm not going to go print four different versions. I can't afford to do that. There's no space on the page. We don't have paper for this. We don't have enough of these blocks, and we don't have the labor. And no one's gonna. And we can't go for the society. We can't do this. So you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna mekadesh Yisrael, and like we'll put in parentheses, zmanim.
And you tell me that's how the of our brachas came about. Through some printer sitting in a store somewhere.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, and then the people got the sitter, and it said the mekadesh Yisrael, and it said zmanim. And they said they didn't realize that the word zmanim is a placeholder that you should have enough seichel to insert mekadesh Yisrael v'chag hamatzos, mekadesh Yisrael v'chag hasukos. Didn't you? And what happened? The people started saying mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Now, is this true or not? Debatable. I remember Rise once gave a shiur. I think gave 10 examples. What?
By
Migdal and Magdal, Shmuel Beis, Shin Beis. There's no Shmuel Beis. Those used to be Shmuel. There's no thing of Shmuel Beis. Sorry, they said it said there Shin Shmuel. I don't know Shmuel Beis. So they from giving you the Mara Mokoyim. So they thought it meant on Shabbos. They made a mistake, so the people became a big fat. On Shabbos, you say Migdol, and on during the week, you say Magdol. And then came a Gansa Torah. What's the chilek between Magdol and Migdol? And a whole Chassidus of Art. Exactly. You got it. So you bring proof. You're coming to.
That's not something on the level of a Shmoneser.
Everything can happen. And there's nothing that can happen. All of these things. So some will come back and fight back and say it's not true. It is not a printer's mistake. It's by design. Rav David Cohen here on Coney Island, Gvul Yavitz, he has beautiful piece showing that it's not a printer's mistake. He proves it. He proves it very, very powerfully that it's not a printer's mistake. Mekadesh on the Shalosh Regalim, you are supposed to say the word Zimanim. Although on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur you say B'yom HaZikaron Yom HaKippurim, but on the Shalosh Regalim it is correct to say Zmanim. I don't remember how he proves it. He proves it not to be printed. Rabbi Reisen once gave a beautiful share. You probably can get online very easily. Find this. He gave a share when Mitzvah Shabbos. I remember many years ago, 100 years ago, where he gave 10 examples of things that there are concerns. Not, it's not conclusive, but there are legitimate concerns that what we are reciting in the Nusach HaTfilah came about through a printer's error. He gave 10 examples, and there are probably a lot more, and not all of them are correct, and not necessarily, who says the printer's mistakes? You have people that come back and they fight back, and they prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're not a printer's mistake. Look in the Haggadah. Baruch HaMokoyim Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Torah Lamo Yisrael Baruch Hu. Everyone says that, right? So according to the Haggadah, Haggadah Smilim by Harav Osher Gruzman, he says there, check out the earlier sources. That's, not supposed to say it. It was said responsively. The Baal Haggadah would say, Baruch HaMokoyim. And everyone sitting around the table would respond, Baruch Hu. And then the Baal Haggadah would say, Baruch Shenasan Torah Lamo Yisrael. And the people sitting around the Seder would respond, Baruch Hu. That's the way it was done originally. And you go look at the old Haggadahs, the very old Haggadahs, you'll probably find, you'll leave me instructions. So how come today in all of the art scroll Haggadahs, they must have printed in all of their editions every year, they have new Haggadahs, all the editions use the same boilerplate. They take the same text. And in none of their editions do they differentiate between Baruch HaMoko and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnasan, Torah Le'amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu? It's just one stream of text that everyone says, and there are probably many commentators who have given some very brilliant, very original ideas as to why it's written like that, and no one wants to say the obvious.
Why can't you do that? Why by Kiddush Levana you say Shalom Aleichem, and the other guy said, no,
you're
supposed to say Aleichem Shalom also when you say the Kiddush Levana. That's why I was eventually taught.
Say it again.
You say Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. You don't wait necessarily for the other person.
You say it yourself.
You say it to yourself. So you do give the answer Baruch Hu.
To yourself. You can say Azoy, you say Agdis, Azoy and Azoy. You can play around this, there's no end to this. Hanach lohem li Yisrael. Look, what about? But say you go to a wedding. Al yidei chupa. You go to a wedding. Al yidei chupa v'kiddushin, right? That's the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem the Masada kiddushin. The chupa. Oh, what comes first? The ma'aser kiddushin or the chupa? Chupa. The chupa is the kinyan of nisuin. The kiddushin. There's erisin and then there's nisuin. The order is clearly wrong. Al yidei chupa. Chupa is the second part of marriage. And kiddushin is the first part of marriage. It would appear that it should be al yidei kiddushin v'chupa. So why is the order reversed? So some will tell you that is a printer's mistake.
No, but where are you?
It's not al yidei chupa. It's not a vav, v'kiddushin. It's al chupa with a vase. Is there any difference in the pronunciation for us Ashkenazim?
It's done together.
It already occurred. Al yidei chupa that already occurred the kiddushin, but because in Ashkenaz there's no differentiation in the pronunciation of a vav and a vez, and whoever the printer was writing, he just recalled from memory, and somehow they confused the vav and the vase, so it turned into al yidei chupa with the vav, the kiddushin. Really? The kiddushin? It's out of order. But if it really was meant to be a vase, al yidei kiddushin, al yidei chupa, the with the vase, then it's perfect, it makes perfect sense, and it's grammatically correct, and everything is shalom al yisrael. So how, is it really a mistake? Some will say, no, it's not a mistake, it is a mistake.
Bottom line is, are we married?
You're married. The bracha is not ma'akev. Is it another very big mystery, which you can argue, you know, there's a lot of Torah on this, and people will get very worked up. Is it hareat? Every single person today, I don't know, everyone, but almost everyone that we go to, zuazo. Hareat mikudeshesli bitabas. What do you say? Bitabazu. So, the big experts say that's wrong. It's bitabas zo. Okay, there's a whole discussion. What is the word? What is it going on? Is it going on the kiddush? Is it going on the tabas? Is it going on chazal? Ganze maisa. The bottom line is hanach lohem le yisrael im einem neviim b'nei neviim. Even the people who will prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that it should be bitabas zo. Say that they, when they got married, they still said zu. And they tell their children to say zu, because hanach lohem li Yisrael. In einam neviim, b'nei neviim, if this is the b'nei Yisrael, we're not going to play around, even though we don't understand, there are questions, that's life. There's a certain... Okay, we're getting really, and I mean, over here, this really is indeed, though, worth our time, because it's a beautiful mincha shai. The mincha shai is the authority. He is the authority on. He's the guardian of tradition. Okay, the Mincha Shai will always quote you the Mesorah Gedola and the Mesorah Kitana. B'lin Eder, one day we're going to spend time learning what this is all about, because recently somebody published a beautiful sefer. I saw it in Beagle Eyes in there. I didn't see it since then. I don't know. I have to go track it down. A big, thick sefer on the Mesorah Gedola and the Mesorah Ketana, explaining how to read it, the code, and basically giving you a very nice overview of the history and of everything that you need to know and don't need to know about this thing called the Misura Gedoyla, the Misura Kitana, which is extinct. No one's going to publish it anymore. Art Scroll is not publishing on their margin the Misura Gedoyla and the Misura Kitana. It's not here. Okay? And it's not in the other, in none of the editions. There are a lot of editions of the Mikrois Gedoylos on Tanakh, and no one wants to touch it. No one is willing to throw it in, not even in the back, because no one even knows what it is. No one understands how to read it, and it looks like mumbo jumbo. A bunch of letters, and you have to know the code. And it takes a lot of time and skill to know the code, and you have to be a baki muflug in Tanakh, fluent in Tanakh to appreciate the code of the Misura Gedoyla, the Misura Kitana, which is coming to preserve the accuracy, the precision of the words. And here we got a big problem, which opens up a major topic of discussion, because it's a Beferish of Gemara. Our lifeblood is the Talmud Bavli. It's our lifeblood. It's mamish our lifeblood. And our lifeblood, the Talmud Bavli, has a beautiful drasha, and it says that the Ribbono Shel Olam made the world with one hand. One hand. And the tzaddikim of this world, their creations are done with two hands. We built the Beis HaMikdash. Mankind, Klal Yisrael, David, Shlomo, built a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem konenu yodech. Mikdash Hashem konenu yodecha. Yodecha b'lashon rabim, two hands. Therefore, the gedoyle masa yide adam, the work of man is greater than the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is what Bar Kapara said. Along came a person. Who was that person? Rabbi Chiya, and he challenged the correctness of this drasha from this very pasuk in Tehillim in Mizmor Tzadihei, where it says V'yabeshes Yodov Yotzaru. Yodov here is spelled with a yud b'loshon rabim, not yodo, yodov. And this is a major challenge to what Bar Kapara has said in the Talmud Bavli. And Bar Kapara gives an answer. Don't chab me with dikduk. Don't chab me with. If you look in Tehillim, you'll see that yodov is spelled without a yud. So it's a kri v'chsif. So it's spelled that the abeshes, the dry land, yodoy, Hashem's hand. Okay, the next word is a bit difficult because the next word is Lashon Rabim, which is spelled without a yud. Yodoy, which is, even though you may be correct that the pronunciation is B'Lashon Rabim, but the fact that the spelling is without a yud, B'Lashon Yachid, comes in order to prove that we are correct, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created the world with one hand. And again, the tzaddikim who build the Beis HaMikdash, their actions are even more beautiful because they use two hands. There's more dexterity when you use two hands. There's more balancing. There's more koyach. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So now you would think that if the Gemara explicitly says that the word yodov should be spelled without a yud, you'll find it at least somewhere. Maybe if you open up your art school edition of the Mikros Gedolos and it doesn't mention the Zekri V'chsiv, maybe at least you'll find it in the Misura, in some edition, and the first place to go to is the Misura Gedola and the Misura Kitana, which indeed enumerates 66 times in Tanakh, where there is a missing yud. We have a word that the yud is missing, and when we read the word, we read it as if the yud is present, although there is no yud. And guess what? This pasuk in front of us is not counted in that list. So we got a big problem, because we have a Beferish of Gemara that says that the word yodov should be spelled without a yud, and we have no record anywhere that this word is spelled without a yud. How do you explain that? Tzoruch in godol ad moed. It's a very big problem. Look at again the Minchas Shai. Very powerful stuff. Let's see. Yabeshes yodov yotzaru yodoy ksiv. First of all, he says over here yodoy ksiv. You notice that? That's interesting. Okay? He says over here, it says Yodo. The art scroll did not take him seriously, obviously. Art scroll says, really? Yodoy ksiv? I don't know. The art scroll ignored, blatantly ignored what the Minhag HaShai said, and in their edition it says Yodof, and then the Minhag HaShai acknowledges that even though I'm telling you to spell it without the Yod, I do acknowledge Uvechol Sefareinu Kosuv Yodof. All of our books, indeed, it's spelled with a Yod. Gam also, nowhere is it ever spelled without a Yod. Gam loy nimna, it is not counted. B'mosoro gidoyla, on that little column on the side of the ancient Mikrois Gedolos, which the shul used to have here. They used to have one edition over here that had actually on the side. And you look at it, but Sal, when you look at the Mosoro gidoyla on the side of the Mikrois Gedolos, you'll go, what in the world is this? What in the world? Looks like a computer error. Print out a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Im nun vav milin, the 56 times where chaserim yud, the emsa tevosa, where it's missing, it's not counted amongst the 56 times when the yud is missing in the middle of the word, but yet vikaryon, and is read. So indeed, this is an incredible insight into understanding the Mesorah. And I, you know, this goes back, I told you many times, I'm not going to repeat it now, many times, coming up soon. We're coming very soon to, but it's not okay at this, but it's okay with Shiras Devorah. Shiras Devorah. When you lane Kriyas Yamsuf, what is the Haftorah? What is the Haftorah for Kriyas Yamsuf? You lane Kriyas Yamsuf twice a year. You lane Kriyas Yamsuf Parshas Beshalach, and you lane Kriyas Yamsuf on Shvihi Shel Pesach. What is the Haftorah for Parshas Beshalach? Shiras Hayam. Shiras Hayam. Shiras Devorah. Shiras Devorah. Yoel. Shiras Devorah. What is the Haftorah on the Shvihi Shel Pesach? It is Shiras David. Shiras David is the Haftorah. Now, how do you lay out in the Sefer Torah Shiras Hayam? Oriach al gabei levena, right? Oriach like bricks. How do you lay out Hazinu? Two columns. How do you lay out the Aseres b'nei Haman? Two columns. How do you lay out the twenty-four itim in Koheles, two columns straight. How do you lay out the kings, the 31 kings of Canaan in Sefer Yehoshua? You never lane this, so you don't really get to see it. But if you have a klaf, you lane from Yehoshua three times. Sefer Yehoshua. If you daven in the shul, they lane from klaf. They lane from Sefer Yehoshua three times. Simchas Torah, Parashas Shalach, one more time. What's it? I forgot already. Three times you lane from Sefer Yehoshua, Pesach. On Pesach you lane from it. On Pesach you lane one of the three times. And if you go look in the beginning, there's the Shir of the 31 kings of Canaan, two columns. Question: How do you lay out? Do you lay out Shiras David? I think it's also two columns. I don't remember anymore. Shiras David. I forgot already, but it's not a right what it said. I think over here they do. I think, I'm sorry, one second. Let's take a quick look. Here is Shvi'ah Shel Pesach. That's the controversial one. And Shiras, the Haftorah of Pesach. Shabbos HaGodol, Shvi'ah Shel Pesach, is Shiras David, is Ariach HaGabi Levena. At least over here, as a riach al gabi levena. Okay, so it's just like Oz Yashir. Controversy. How do you lay out Shiras Devorah on Parashas Beshalach? In all of the traditional Nevi'im, Sefer Shoftim. You'll go to all of the shuls, you'll open up the Aron Kodesh, or wherever they store the Nevi'im, it's going to be Oriach al gabei levena, just like Shiras Hayam. However, in the Aleppo Codex, it's not like that. In the Aleppo Codex, it's two columns. Just like Hazinu. So they asked this question, and the Aleppo Codex was only recently, relatively speaking, become available to the Hamoina. And the Aleph Codex has a reputation that this is the most authentic version of Tanakh that we have. It's about 1,000 years old, and many claim that the Rambam referred to the Aleph Codex when he said that he wrote his Sefer Torah based upon this book, which we assume he's referring to, the Aleph Codex. And if this, what the Rambam says, is the most authentic codex, the preservation of Tanakh, and there it is laid out as two columns, similar to Chazinu, why then, when you go to a shul and you take out a Sefer Shoftim and you look at Shiras Devorah, is it a Riach al Gabi Levena? So they asked this question to two people, to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, and to his Shver, Rebbe Yashiv, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. And the Shver and the Edim gave different answers. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, almost predictable, said everyone should change the Soifrim, Mikan Ulehaba, should cut out the nonsense, and write all of the Nevi'im like the Aleph Codex. Because our tradition, our Mesorah, on Nevi'im is non-existent. It's very, very weak. The Mesorah on the Torah is ironclad, but we don't have an authentic Mesorah on the way the Nevi'im should be written. And if we have the Aleph Codex, that's the best we got, and that's what they should do. Rav Eliashiv said, no, keep on doing what you were doing. Don't change anything. Even though in Hanami the Mesorah is not so strong, and we have an Aleph Codex, Hanach lohem li Yisrael im einam nevim b'nei nevim. This machlokes is what's known as among the Seferim, B'nei Barak versus Yerushalayim. Okay, Rebbe Yashiv lives in Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, whatever Rebbe Yashiv said, that's what goes. In B'nei Barak, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he said no, they should write like the Aleph Codex. So there was a machlokes from B'nei Barak ad hayoyim hazeh between B'nei Barak and Yerushalayim, how the Nevi'im should be written. That's only one example. There are many differences between the traditional way of writing and the Aleph Codex. There are many examples. I know that in Chaim Berlin, they had a very old set of Nevi'im. And one day, a group of Balabatim got together and they bought a present. I think they bought a present for Avram Fruchtenler. So they bought a new set of Nevi'im for the yeshiva in his honor. A whole new set of Nevi'im cost about double a Sefer Torah. Because the Sefer Torah has 250 columns, and there are approximately 245 columns in the Sefer Torah, and there are approximately 500 columns in a complete set of Nevi'im. So when you buy a set of Nevi'im, you're paying double than what you're paying for a Sefer Torah, a whole set. And they did not know what they were buying. They did not know, this is many, many years ago, they did not know what they were buying. They just bought a set. They did not pay attention. And then the Baal Kriya started getting very confused because it wasn't what he was used to. And they actually, there was one thing that was so bizarre. Actually, they sent it to the Sefer to correct. Now, I'll tell you the whole story. And then they realized, this is not a mistake. This set that they purchased was based on Rav Chaim Kanievsky, B'nei Barak, the Aleph Codex. And what they've been using until now was B'nei Barak. Was Yerushalayim, was the traditional, you know, what we've been using for the last 1,000 years, so to speak, the traditional way of doing things. We don't have such a good Mesorah, but that's how we've been doing things until now. So it's an issue. I think today, most people today who are buying new are buying Yerushalayim. They're not buying the Aleph Codex. It seems that over the last 20 years, it won the day. People are just afraid to change.
That's what should be done. Because I remember from my Rosh Hashanah and other things that was said,
It was good enough until now. See,
I'm high. No. If this is the way you've been doing it for so many years, and there's no outright
problem, See, Reb Chaim is almost predictable, because Reb Chaim is very much like that. Reb Chaim, a lot of his things are out of the box. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zechet Sag Levracha, Goin, the Sar HaTorah, it's a lot of the things that he says, a lot of his, they're like, he looks at a lot of things at very, at face value. He doesn't always look at the big picture of what we've been doing until now. It's, there are many examples of like this, of different things that people, he was too modern for a lot of people. He was the Sar HaTorah. They lined up around the block. They worshipped him. But yet, in his Piskei Halacha, he was out of the box. And not everyone can deal with that. I'm not making things up over here. And Avraham Yashiv was very traditional. It seems to me, I don't know really very much, but it seems to me, my impression is, at the end of the day, that the psak of Rav Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, won the day, and the majority of kehilos that are writing, that are commissioning soifrim to write for them, Nevi'im, are doing it according to the traditional way, not like the Aleppo Codex. So over here, so that, you know, touches upon this exactly that we're discussing over here right now. We have a Beferish Gemara that tells us the word Yodav should be spelled without a Yud. It's an explicit Gemara, black and white. And the Mincha Shai, he's not embarrassed. He says, Yodoy Ksiv. He's not embarrassed, he just says it the way it is. That's the way you're supposed to write it. You're supposed to write it Yodo. Yeah, I know, you're not gonna, I know, Uvichol Seforeinu Kosov Yodav. I know, go check it out. Go to every single shul in the world, you're gonna take out a Sefer Tilm, you can find them, those are written on cloth, and you're gonna find that it's spelled with a Yod. And I know that in the Mesorah Gedoyla, you don't play around with that. That is the code, that is the book that was written in order to make sure that there are no mistakes in Tanakh. It doesn't list it as missing a Yud, which automatically means that it's supposed to have a Yud. So how come yet no one is listening to the Mincha Shai? No one's listening to the Gemara? No one's listening to what it says in the Mesorah Gedoyla? How come? Hanach lohem li Yisrael in einam neviim b'nei neviim. You're not so quick to make a mistake. You ever see people come, they go have a sefer, and they find a mistake? You ever see, you go to yeshiva, you have a sefer, a ritva, a rash, or anything, and someone take a pen. There are two types of correctors in yeshiva. Some people, they'll take a pen, and they'll cross out something that they don't like in a sefer. They'll cross it out, and they'll write what they think is correct. And then there are people, they'll put an asterisk, and on the side of the margin, they'll write, L'choyra, I don't know, Tzorchman's also a little bit of a chutzpah. There's L'choyra, there's an issue over here, ayin, this, possibly the correct word should be so-and-so. The people that are more refined will not ever take a magic marker and cross it out. They're not going to do that. They're going to put an asterisk, and they'll say, you know, there's something over here which needs before. Now, one thing we have to finish over, and I'm going to stop, is, but it does say over here, you can't ignore the problem, that it says over here, Yotzaru b'loshoin rabim. Go back to when you finish the Gemara. What does the Gemara over here says? The Gemara says, Yodaksim says Yotzaru, but it says Yotzaru. You want to go play, very nice, you want to play around with the word Yodov, Yodoy, but it says Yotzaru, Yotzaru is loshoin rabim. Doesn't say Yotzroi, Omar Rav Omar or Yotzar, Yodoy Yotzar, Omar Rav Nachmar Yitzchak Yotzru Etzba Oisav. Okay, that's a little bit of a stretch. That's why it says Yodoy Yotzru, Hashem's one hand, Yodoy Yotzru, and the plural form of the word Yotzaru is going on the individual fingers of Hashem. There are five fingers, therefore you can say in plural One yad's action can be described in the plural form because there are five fingers, but does not take away from the fact that the word yodo is spelled without a yud and really can be meant to be said one hand because of this maimer chazal from Bar Kapora. Ki ere shamecha maasei etzbe oisecha. How do we know that we have a pasuk? It says that we call the creation of Hashem the maasei of your fingers. Yoreach v'chicham asher koinanta, which you established. Okay, so this is the whole story over here. It's definitely something unique. This is a very unique situation, and it goes to show Klal Yisrael is a nation that is heavily steeped in tradition, no matter what. No matter what. You can leave, you don't have, but it says fakert other places. Doesn't matter. If this is the way our grandparents read it, our great-grandparents, it was handed down, maybe it's a mistake. Maybe. But until someone comes along, Mashiach comes along, business as usual. Hanach lohem li yisholim einam nevim b'nei nevim. Powerful stuff. And the truth is, you have the source of something very similar in the Megillah Esther. There are two words in Megillah Esther, which the Mincha Shai says is beyond the shadow of a doubt it's a mistake. The way it's spelled or even pronounced, it's beyond the shadow of a doubt it's a mistake. And yet, we ignore it. We ignore what the Mincha Shai says, and we continue writing. I forgot what he says. There are two words.
One word that where you change the actual letter, and he says it twice.
I don't remember exactly what he says. There are two things at the end of the Megillah where he says that there is an absolute spelling mistake in our Megillahs. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, and all of the Seferim should cut out the nonsense and just make the correction, Nikanu Lahaba, and get on with life. And we don't listen to him. We still spell it in the Megillah the wrong way, and if you have it the right way, you'll bring it to a Sefer to correct it, that it should be spelled the wrong way. This is what he says. He says this is beyond a shadow of a doubt, with all his proofs, we're spelling it wrong. And we don't...
It's in the Megillah, and we just
learned
in the Megillah,
one letter is wrong. It's not Ma'akev, right? It's not Ma'akev. It doesn't make a difference. It's not Ma'akev. And even technically in the Sefer Torah, when it comes to Moleh V'choser, an extra Yud or an extra Vav, where it's a vowel, it's not Ma'akev. Today we already have it down to such a science that if you have an extra yud or extra vav, you're going to get it corrected, okay? And there even will be rabbanim.
People don't know the basic halacha. That's why.
No, but
it's because of lack. It's because of ignorance. It's not.
It's true. Everything is ignorance. Ignorance is the biggest illness of this world.
But ignorance is bliss.
Not something too.
But even today, there are chiluki deis on this. Today there are chiluki deis. If you know that you have a sefer Torah and that's missing a vav or missing a yud. So technically, in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you're missing a vav, missing a yud, you don't have to, it's kosher, because we're not experts today in mole v'chaser. There are people today that hold that halacha does not apply to the 21st century. Because that was written in a time when there was basically a hefkerus, where there were many different versions out there. Today, it has been standardized to such a degree, to such an intense degree, where if you have today a word in the Sefer Torah, if you already the Sefer Torah is on the Bima, that's already one madrigal. But if you know that in the Aron HaKodesh there's a Sefer Torah that has an extra vav, and it doesn't change the meaning, it's just a vowel. The Apoiskim, I can't tell you who, where, and what. I remember there was once a big issue about this. You're not allowed to take it out. You're not allowed to take it out of the Aron HaKodesh, put on the Bima, make a bracha on it. Oh, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not ma'akev moli v'choser Vav and Yud. But today, when we have a standard, we have a tikkun soifrim, and it's been accepted, whether it's right or wrong, this is exactly the way today, in the 21st century, we write a Sefer Torah. Doesn't matter. Missing Vav, missing Yud, not so simple. You're allowed to take out that Sefer Torah lichatchila on the Bima and lane from it. Let's say, in different situations, you're not allowed to. If already you're already learning and you find there's a vav, okay, that already might be a little bit different. The Mesorah is very, very important. All right, we'll stop over here. Mishnah tomorrow, we'll take a short break, then we're going to spend the rest of the time. I want to do Haggadah, some machshavos, ideas, drush on the Haggadah Shel Pesach.